Well, always remember that redemptive historical pattern way in the eternal beginning. God the Father and God the Son, they made a covenant. And in history, Jesus Christ comes and fulfills that covenant. As soon as that fulfillment of the covenant, the interim period begins, which is church age or 1,000-year kingdom of God being accomplished spiritually. Then at the end of that church age, Antichrist crisis, then there are two gatherings, Armageddon gathering, which is salvation, and Armageddon war, which is judgment. Then at the end, visible consummation of the eternal kingdom. And last time we saw the Antichrist crisis. The Bible actually speaks of this period as a short time period. The Bible uses phrase like a little while or 3.5 days compared to 3.5 years when it's talking about church age. And it is quickly followed by the last Armageddon war. Again, during the church age, God gathers his people. And as that gathering comes to the end, Satan is released from this 1,000-year binding. Thus comes the Antichrist crisis, and Satan gathers his followers. So we have two gatherings. God gathering of his people into heaven, and Satan mimics God by gathering his followers to attack the gathering of God's people. And it is the last Armageddon war. If you look at from the perspective of God, it is God using Satan to gather all the enemies of God for the last judgment. This last Armageddon war will be end by the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, there will be the resurrection of the dead and the last judgment of God and ultimately visible consummation of heaven. So we're going to get to end very, very soon. But today, we are looking at the last Armageddon war. God has been telling us about this from the Old Testament, but it becomes more clear as we come to the New Testament. And today we're looking at the Old Testament, specifically Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, a typological Armageddon war. So I want you to understand where we are. So we have church age ending, and there is that Antichrist crisis. As soon as that happens, there's two gatherings. One, God gathers his people, but Satan also gathers his followers. But one is described as a Armageddon gathering to be saved. But the other, Satan's gathering, is described as a Armageddon war, because they gather to attack the other gathering, but they gather to be judged by God. That's when, you know, Jesus Christ will come back. As soon as that happens, the judgment happens, then the visible consummation of heaven. We're almost there. But today, we're going to look at these two gatherings, especially the Armageddon war. And we see this typological way in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. So we're going to compare Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 with the New Testament. And we'll see how God, even in the Old Testament, show us what would happen at the end. Ezekiel 38 verse 1. Let me read all the way to 5. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Mesech, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses, and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Put will with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer with all its troops, Beth Togarma from the remote parts of the north with all its troops, many peoples with you. So here we see the figure of Gog, and it is a picture of Antichrist. And we see here, in a typological way, the gathering of the enemies of God to attack the true gathering of God, the true Armageddon. But I want you to notice this. The Gog comes from the land of Magog, it says. And as we see the words like Gog and Magog, we are reminded of Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 9, right? Let me read that, Revelation 27 through 9. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And obviously, as we have seen before, these verses in the book of Revelation are dealing with the Antichrist crisis and the last Armageddon war. And we see the same thing in the book of Ezekiel. Now, Gog from Magog. Now, Ezekiel 38 verse 15 says, you will come from your place, out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples will with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and mighty army. Now, this verse relates the Magog with the remote parts of the north. So just like Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 2 says, and I will turn you around, drive you on, and take you up from the remotest parts of the north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. So literally, if you read in like Hebrew, it says height of Zaphon, meaning mountain. So God comes from north. And let me show you what that truly means. Isaiah 14 verse 13 and 14 says, Isaiah 14 verse 13 and 14 describes the, we could see through these verses the heart of Satan. It says, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of heaven, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will make myself like the Most High. So Satan says here, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. Right? But it also says that that place, you know, Satan says, I will sit recesses of north. But that verse also says that that place is Mount of Assembly. Right? So, Armageddon. Now, if you go to Psalm 48, verse 2, it's talking about true Armageddon, Mount Zion. So let me read that. Psalm 48, verse 2. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Now, as I said, this verse is describing the true Armageddon, the true Zion, the true Mount of Assembly. So the Mount Zion, Bible says, in the far north. Now, this verse is describing, like I said, the true Armageddon. But when it says north, here, the north is not a geographical direction, but points to highest of heaven. So it's a vertical direction rather than like in a map, north. So Satan, I want you to see that, and Satan is again mimicking God. Thus, he too comes from the north. That's the whole point here. You know, God is describing the movement of Satan, but Satan is just mimicking God. So his Armageddon is also in the north. And it's a symbolism. We're not really talking about, like I said, geographical direction. But what you need to understand is that everything that Satan does is mimicking God. So Satan also comes from the north, remote parts of north. There he gathers his followers unto the false Armageddon, and they come to attack the assembly of God. So Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you see this Gog, Antichrist, coming from north, but he's actually coming to attack the assembly of God. So you see war going on in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But I want you to understand that's a typological, the last Armageddon war that we're looking at in the Old Testament. All right. So this is the Antichrist crisis, which will be quickly followed by the last Armageddon war. But we must never forget, even this last Armageddon war is initiated by our God himself. Verse 4a, Ezekiel 38, verse 4a, God says, I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all of you, all your army. So it is God who is bringing this God from Magog to attack his assembly. Even in the book of Revelation, the whole thing begins as God releases Satan from the binding. It was God actually releasing Satan. And that's what triggers this Antichrist crisis and also two gatherings, the fake Armageddon to attack the true Armageddon. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 17 through 21, let me read that to you. It's kind of long, but I want you to fully understand what Ezekiel 38 and 39 is showing us. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. So you see Jesus Christ, right? He's the leader of this. But there's a war. Verse 17, You go down to 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men, slave and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophets who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which come from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now it's a symbolism. Describe the war in a worldly way. And understand it was written 2,000 years ago, so the war description of war is like, you know, this soldiers on the horses and fighting. If the Bible is written today, it's not going to be soldiers on the horses. It will be, you know, jets and tanks and, you know, that kind of stuff. But you have to understand it's written in terms of what is true at the time. But it is war between Jesus Christ and all of his enemies. This is the Armageddon War. Now, we're not saying that in some time in history, there will be all of God's people gathered in one geographical location and all these different nations will come and, you know, have a war with them. That's not what we're talking about. It's a spiritual war described in terms of worldly war. Understand? So don't think of, you know, Israel, you know, the ethnic Israel and China and Russia and all these people, you know, coming to war with Israel. That's not what it's talking about. Some people take it that way. No, it's a spiritual war and it's going on even now. But it will be more intense as that time comes. But spiritual war is described in a worldly way. Understand? Book of Revelation is just that. It's a symbol. It's the symbolical language. Okay? But it is happening now, but it will get really intense. So here in Book of Revelation, the beast is the Antichrist. So this is the last Armageddon war that we're looking at in Revelation 19. But let us go back to Ezekiel now, chapter 39, verse 4. I begin with verse 4. Ezekiel, not 38, but 39. Verse 4. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the people who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. 17, verse 17. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble and come gather from every side to my sacrifice, which I am going to sacrifice for you as a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the princes of the earth as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls. all of them fatling of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are glutted and drink blood until you are drunk. From my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you, you will be glutted at my table with horses and charioteers, you with mighty men and all the men of war, declares the Lord God. So you notice the similarities that you see in Ezekiel and also in Book of Revelation. The battle, God's side wins, but now, you know, how is it describing the defeat of Satan's army? Well, God calls on birds to come and have a great party, because they're all defeated. They're all dead. So birds coming to eat their flesh. That's how it is described. But we read that in Book of Revelation, but we are also reading the same thing happening in Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel passage is the same as Revelation 19. So the Gog of Ezekiel is the beast of Revelation. The coming of the Antichrist is the false parousia, meaning the word is used to describe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So even though it was God bring them out, and they're coming to destroy assembly of God, but it is described in those terms. It's coming of a God from Magog. Just mimicking again the parousia of Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. See, it's talking about Antichrist, right? The one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, and with all power and signs and false wonders. And this is what we're seeing in Ezekiel. Just like New Testament says, the Antichrist will come to gather his people to destroy the assembly of God. And Ezekiel 39, you see God coming to destroy God's gathering. So we're looking at the same thing here. All right. Jesus says he will be coming in a cloud. You remember Luke chapter 22? Yeah. Jesus says, I will come in a cloud. But look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 9. Ezekiel 38, verse 9. You will go up. God is saying to this God, you will go up and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many people with you. And verse 16, and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am sanctified through you before their eyes, O God. So even coming of God is described that he's coming in a cloud, so to speak. But again, you see the language, everything that this God is doing mimics Jesus Christ. That's the whole point here. And, you know, even though they're going to be great army and, you know, they're going to be strong, mighty, but understand, always you have to remember that it is God who is in complete control. It is God who initiates this war. Why? So that God will bring final judgment upon them. I want you to notice again Remember when I read Ezekiel 38, verse 1 through 5, there are so many names of locations, cities. Starting with Magog, and it ends with Magog in verse 6. Thus, these locations form a circle around Zion. So, Gog is bringing his army from all these locations, but if you understand those locations, it is actually forming a circle around Zion. God's enemies encircle the true Armageddon, and that is the picture. They attack from all sides. But isn't that what we just read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 9? Let me read that to you once again. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. That's the description, right? God's enemy, you know, when Satan is released, he gathers his people and he's in so-called the assembly of God. Now, symbolical language. When that time comes, and I don't know if that time has already begun or we have to wait a little more, I don't know. But Satan will gather and he will attack the church. Now, church is spread out everywhere. We're not gathered like the description that we have here, but it's a symbolism. We're actually gathered up in heaven, but we are one body of Christ, and we're going to be attacked from every side from this world. And that's the picture that we have. And, you know, the intensity that we see in these verses kind of tell us that that time is not yet come. I don't think we're living in that time right now. But it could be, because there are some Christians in the world, oh, they're suffering greatly, like North Korea, you know, Iran. These people, these countries, Christians living in there. To them, it kind of sounds like what they're seeing in the Book of Revelation. But in America, of course, you know, we have so much freedom, but it's getting, you know, worse and worse, because even 50 years ago, being a Christian, it was something that everybody kind of accepted. They liked it. But more and more, Christian values are being hated by the world. All right. So here in the Book of Revelation, the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, all of those who are in this world who follow Satan, and here they are called symbolically Gog and Magog, they surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city. The same thing as what we saw in Ezekiel 38 and 39. God's enemies surrounding Zion. And one more thing here. The names of these nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we see the same names of nations in Genesis chapter 10. Now, Ezekiel has Magog in that list. But if you understand, in Genesis 10, that's right after flood, the nations begin. And what happens in Genesis 11? We see the event of the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel, it was an Armageddon event. It was a gathering event. Genesis 11 verse 4, they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." What was the Tower of Babel about? It was about preventing scattering, meaning it was a gathering event. But it was false gathering, false Armageddon. Why? They gather to rebel against God. They say, "Let us make for ourselves a name." And this is what we see in Ezekiel 38 as we see the enemies of God gather. You have to understand the connection between these events. It's the same spiritual reality, even though it's different events in history. Because the same thing is happening in these events. So, throughout history, you see the mini Armageddon and mini Armageddon wars, which will culminate to the last Armageddon war. All right. They surround Zion and they attack Zion, Revelation 20 verse 9a, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and beloved city. And this is exactly what we see in Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel 39 verse 7 through 9, "Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, which inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the Mount of Israel, which had been a continual waste. But its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. You will go up, and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, and you and all your troops and many people with you," verse 12, "to capture spoil and seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle, goods, who live at the center of the world. And you," verse 16, "and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nation may know me when I am sacrificed, I sanctify through you before their eyes, O God." I'm reading the same verses, but even though it is written in terms of worldly war, it is saying the same thing as what we read in the book of Revelation in a symbolical language. And I want you to understand this last Armageddon war. I said it before, but I will read you some verses to prove it. God is in complete control. Revelation chapter 20 verse 3, "And he threw him into abyss and shut it and sealed it over him." He's talking about Satan. "So that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." And verse 7, "When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison." So you have to understand that God is the one who releases Satan. Ezekiel 38 verse 4, "I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaw." And I read that before, right? "And I will bring you out." So God is the one brings these people. Ezekiel 38 verse 16, And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land, God says. Ezekiel 39 verse 2. And I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest part of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 39 verse 19. So you will eat fat until you are glutted, and drink blood until you are drunk from my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. So God says that it's all my doing. And this is really important because, you know, so many people tell me that they don't want to read Book of Revelation because it's so scary. And they're terrified reading it. But you got to understand, it's not something, you know, that would scare you if you truly understand what is going on. What is Book of Revelation all about? It just tells us that Jesus will win. He's going to win. And we are all going to participate in his victory. So why are we scared when we read about that? But it is written in a symbolical language, and people read it and they're not like what they're reading. And this war, it says, it will come after a long period of time. So, you know, we expect, I mean, it has been 2,000 years now. But these verses tell us that this Armageddon war, the last one, will come long after the long period of time of peace. Like Revelation 20 verse 3, and he threw him, Satan, into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nation any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. So it gives us a sense of, oh, it's going to be a long time before the last Armageddon comes. And Ezekiel 38 verse 8 says the same thing, and many days you will be summoned. After many days, you will be summoned. In latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which have been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. So why now, you know, securely living, and after that it will happen. And I could read you those kind of verses in Ezekiel, but let's try to finish this. Now, one thing that we need to understand is that at the last Armageddon war, Satan and this world will be completely destroyed. At the same time, heaven will be visibly consummated. So Revelation 20 verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. So he only see heaven and the earth and what we see today. Just gone, completely gone. Ezekiel 39 verse 22. And the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward. Ezekiel 39 verse 26. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. And it is a typological expression. Ezekiel 39:29, I will not hide my face from them any longer, and I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel. So Ezekiel is saying the same thing. After this war, after the victory of God, Israel will now live securely, and Israel God will not just hide his face from them anymore. So this kind of language you understand then, you know, God will bless them and God will be with them and they will live securely forever. And Satan and all of his followers will be completely destroyed because as soon as this war happens, what's going to happen? Well, Jesus will return and he's going to bring the final judgment upon them. So it says, Revelation chapter 20, verse 9 and 10, and they come up on a broad plain of the earth and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city. We read that before, but right after that says, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, Ezekiel says the same thing, but in a different way, in a worldly terms. Ezekiel 38, verse 22, with pestilence and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him. I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many people who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. But it means the same thing, right? They're going to be completely destroyed. But it says in earthly terms. Ezekiel 39, verse 6, and I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord. Let me end with this. Just give me like 5 more minutes. There's one more thing to remember before we quit today. Revelation 16, verse 16. And they gather them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. That's the word Armageddon comes out. Revelation 16, 16. It talks about they gather. But why are they gathering? They gather for a war. And Revelation 19, which we have read in the beginning, there was a banquet of birds. Revelation 19, there was another war. But Revelation 20 talks about Gog and Magog. There's another war. So 3 wars. Revelation 16, Revelation 19, and Revelation 20. Now, we see these 3 wars as the one and the same war. Because all 3 elements in Revelation 16, 19, and 20 are in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a description of just one war. So when you read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is one war, but you're going to learn about Armageddon, which Revelation 16 talks about. And you're going to learn about victory of God and God calls birds to come and have a feast, which you will see in Revelation 19. And Gog and Magog, you will see in Revelation 20. So what are we saying? We're saying Ezekiel 38 and 39 is description of one war. And all the stuff that you're going to read in Revelation 16 and 19 and 20, they're all in there. So you could say the war in 16 and war in 19 and war in 20, they're the same war. Just showing the same war in a different perspective. Now, if we say like that, it's one war. Then the pre-mill people, they have a problem. Because pre-mill people say that they are all three different wars. But if we see them as one war, then the earthly 1,000-year kingdom would not exist. Because unlike what they believe, the last Armageddon war happens not before the 1,000-year kingdom of God, but it happens after the 1,000-year kingdom of God, just like what we read in Revelation 20. The last Armageddon war ends the 1,000-year kingdom, which we believe it to be church age. So if we look at, if we could prove, and we did prove, that these three wars are one war, then pre-mill people, what they say cannot be true. And also post-mill people will have problem too. And I will end with that. Why is that so? Well, post-mill. Because according to what we have studied so far, the Antichrist crisis is a worldwide false Armageddon event. Thus, the preaching and the teaching of the true gospel will be oppressed. Think about it. If Satan is released to gather his people to attack the church, what kind of world will that be? Post-mill people will say that the whole world is going to be Christianized. Right? But how could that be if what we've been studying is true? Thus, we do not see the worldwide Christianizing. Luke 18, verse 8. I will tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Rhetorical question, and we could answer that. No, he's not going to find. Because everybody will be saved, all the number will be fulfilled, and after that, nobody's going to be saved, meaning less Christians living at the time. And if Satan is a gathering to attack the church, the true preaching will be oppressed. So we saw already in Revelation 11, right? Two witnesses who represent the church die. And there was no passage about the whole world being Christianized. Clearly, enormity of the surge of evil world powers at the close of the church age goes against the post-mill expression that all the nations will be Christianized. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is all about saving his people and the last judgment of God for this world, together with Satan and his followers. The last Armageddon war ends with Jesus' return. It ends with the last judgment of God. And at the end, the visible consummation of heaven. That's how it's going to end. And we're living in a very exciting time, actually. It's getting closer. But we cannot say for sure how close it is. But we live as if it's today. And that's what God wants us to do. We're living at the end of age. And we're looking forward to his return. And that's how Christians must live. People don't like what we're saying. Because they say things like, you're too pessimistic. Because we're saying Christians will suffer. They want visible victory. in this world as a Christian. But we're saying the opposite. Visibly, there's no victory, but spiritually, we are victorious. So understand that there are these different views, but it's not, see, your life and your focus and your purpose will be different depending on which view you believe. Yeah. So if you believe that it will be big, you know, visible victory of Christianity in this world, then you cannot really talk about suffering. Because sufferings will end if there's a visible victory of Christianity. Then what we're preaching is just, it's nonsense if that's true. But if what we're preaching is true, then talking about visible victory of Christianity, that becomes nonsense. So people will say, yeah, it's okay, whatever view you hold when it comes to the last days. But I don't think that's true. Because depending on what view you believe, your whole purpose in life becomes different. And it's really important. But we're not saying just because you have different perspective, you're not a Christian. That's not what we're saying. There are many Christians, and including us, I'm sure that we believe something that we should not. You know, we don't know the whole Bible perfectly. So I'm sure there are certain things. And I pray God will show us that when we believe some certain false things that God will show us. So it's not about telling other people you're not Christian. It's about what is the truth so that we may live according to the truth. That's what we're talking about. So let's pray and I'll answer your questions if you have any questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Without it, we'll be truly be lost. But Father, the truth will set us free. It will shine the path that we walk. It will show us the way to Christ. It will show us the way to heaven. Continue to bless us. Pour out the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know more and more of the truth. Bless us, God. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.